Hi there, Alphonse here. I'm the guy that runs this grassroots Infomedias of the People radio show. And I've got a little bit of information and analysis for you. You had the 911 commission, for some reason, is meeting on C-SPAN. And then they call their little dog and pony show, what do they call it? The 911 Public Discourse Project, second report release. And I'll have a link to this right on the front page of the Grassroots Infomedias of the People radio show website, which is freedomisforeverybody.org. Now, what are they doing here? They're saying things like, it's not a question of if, but when we're going to be attacked by terrorists again. I think that they're psychologically setting up the American people so that they can do another attack on America. They, who are they, you probably wonder? Well, they are the people who did 911. And they are in our government. Yeah. And they're setting up the people so that the next attack will easily be blamed on a dupe or a, somebody that they want to demonize politically. Or attack, like maybe the Iranians. They blow something up and say, oh, look what the Iranians did. We've got to implement a draft and go get them. That's what I believe that these cats are doing. I'm going to call them the 911 BS Commission. You know, it's well known, it's well established that they're lying about a bunch of things. Able danger. They squash that information. And they're not here to help us out. They're here to lie to us. And let's listen in and see what they have to say. And then I'll cut in now and then and do a little bit of analysis. We'll have some clips about one of the commissioners named Hamilton. I'm going to rename him Shamilton. What a sham. And some analysis by Alex Jones about his little fiasco on the C-SPAN TV show called Washington Journal, where they take call-ins from just everyday people, but the everyday people that were calling in that day were asking him some pretty pointed questions about 911, like why did they blow up Building 7? Why did Silverstein, the owner of Building 7, why did he say we made a decision to pull it and then watch it collapse? You know, things like that. It's pretty crazy. But I'll tell you what, it'd be nice if we the people, especially me especially, could get these 911 commissioners sat down under oath and question them. I want to put them under oath and question them. And if they get caught in a lie, they go to jail. Put that kind of pressure on these liars, because you can catch them. They'll contradict themselves. They're not that good at lying, because their memories aren't that good. They're old guys, and they're lying. And they step in it all the time. Like remember when Rumsfeld said that the plane that was shot down over Pennsylvania, but the official government line is that there was no plane shot down, the people on the plane brought it down? And he says the plane that was shot down. Said that twice. You know, little Freudian slips. You know, I guess criminals want to confess. You know, and every once in a while they make mistakes and confess what happened. You know, they try to reveal to you that they're lying. I don't know why people do that, but because I'm not a liar. I'm a terrible liar. I'd never make a good politician. But anyway, here it is, a little story about the Dog and Pony Show, otherwise known as the 911 Commission.
Some of the failures are shocking. 4 years after 9/11, it is a scandal that police and firefighters in large cities still can't talk to each other reliably. We're now hit with a major crisis. It's scandals that airline passengers are still not screened against all names on a terrorist watch list. It is scandalous that we still allocate scarce Homeland Security dollars on the basis of pork barrel spending and not on risk. So we're frustrated, all of us. We're frustrated at the lack of urgency in addressing these various problems. Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda believe it is their duty to kill as many Americans as possible. And as we meet here, we know they also are meeting and plotting to do us harm. On 9/11, they killed nearly 3,000 of our fellow citizens. Now, many of the steps that we recommend will help prevent such a disaster from ever happening again. We shouldn't need another wake-up call. We believe that the terrorists will strike again. So does every responsible expert that we have talked to. If they do, and these reforms that might have prevented such an attack have not been implemented, what will our excuses be? While the terrorists are learning and adapting, our government is still moving at a crawl. Now, in the report card we issue today, our purpose is not to praise or to criticize. Our purpose is simply to be constructive, to point out those areas where attention and improvement are still needed. And we will highlight just a few of those. First, the risk-based allocation of Homeland Security funding. It should be obvious that our defenses should be strongest where the enemy intends to strike. And where, by the way, we as a country and a people are most vulnerable. The first responders to any attack will be our local policemen, our firefighters, and our emergency medical personnel. Now, they're a crucial part of our national defense, and therefore we've recommended that federal grants to first responders be distributed based on an impartial assessment of risk and vulnerability. We thought that was common sense. However, the current formula for allocating these grants has no risk assessments, and for that matter, no benchmarking to guide this spending. One city used its Homeland Security money for air-conditioned garbage trucks. Another, to buy Kevlar body armor for dogs. Now, these are not the priorities of a nation that's under threat. Now, Congress has a golden opportunity this month to enact a funding formula that distributes Homeland Security funding strictly on an assessment of risks and vulnerabilities. Such a formula sets benchmarks and requires advanced planning to ensure that the spending actually improves national security. Our intelligence isn't perfect, but surely it should be a guide as to how we allocate security dollars. This isn't about and shouldn't be about small states or large states or urban or rural. It's about protecting the most American lives. The House has passed an excellent provision on risk-based funding 3 times. It passed the House by a vote of 409-10, with overwhelming bipartisan support, and the support came from all parts of the country. It's part of the House-passed Patriot Act reauthorization. It will not become a part of the conference report, and it will not become law unless 6 senators in the conference committee support it. So far, we have got 5. Now it is time for senators to exercise leadership. It's time for senators to do the right thing and do the right thing for our nation's security by passing risk-based funding and putting it into the Patriot Act. Lee?
Second point is information sharing. The failure to share information among and within agencies cost us dearly on September 11. though single step is more important to strengthen our intelligence than to improve intelligence information sharing.
It's kind of odd that right now there are 7 Pentagon Defense Department people who are gag ordered that aren't allowed to talk about Abel Danger. That comes from Kurt Weldon, who is, you know, the expert on Abel Danger. So, how are they sharing information, and why are they being stopped from sharing information with me, with us, with the people? You see, because it wasn't that they weren't sharing information, it's that the government was going to do 911, and that's why there was this wall between the CIA and portions of the FBI, because they wanted the attack to happen. As a matter of fact, I would say that they were part of the attack. So, you know, saying that they weren't sharing information, you know, tell me why. Tell me why they weren't sharing information about Abel Danger. You know, because if you knew that the coal was going to be bombed 3 days ahead of time, you knew the where, and they were unable, Abel Danger, which is a strange name, was not able to share that information with the people on the coal. Why not? I mean, there's telephones. You know, you don't have to have computers that are hooked up to each other. You need a telephone. Same thing with the Abel Danger knew that Mohammed Atta had a terrorist cell in Brooklyn, New York. Unable to share the information or unwilling? Because they were able to share information. There's telephones. Don't tell me that they can't call up the FBI. I can call up the FBI. Yeah. So it wasn't unable to share information. It was unwilling. You know, because they wanted this attack. The people who did it are not those Arabs that they've named. The ones that were training at the Pensacola Naval Air Base. The ones that were training at the Rudy Decker-owned flight school called Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida. You see, if you could set these 911 commissioners down and throw some questions at them, like, why did Jeb Bush send a C-130 to pick up all the records of Huffman Aviation, and where did he take them? Why did he take them, and where did he take them? Why are they hiding that? See, there you go. Unable to share information. Why were they unable to share that information with the 911 commission? They made no comment on it whatsoever. Don't tell me that they were unable to share the information. They are hiding the information. So anyway, let's listen on. This is so annoying that these guys get on C-SPAN on their little bully pulpits and call it a public discourse. There's no discourse going on here. Let me have these people. I'll keep them busy for a month answering questions. Anyway, here it is. More of this Commissioner Hamilton guy. And I'm going to try to track down the Washington Review. He was on Washington Review or whatever it is on C-SPAN. And all the callers who were calling in were asking him questions like I'm talking about now. And he just kind of flibbity-flobbed around them. Spun his way out of it, sort of. Answered the questions without answering them. They're pretty good at that, at spinning and lying. They're very skilled at lying, but that doesn't mean you can't tell that they're lying. But here it is, more Hamilton.
No single step is more important to strengthen our intelligence than to improve intelligence information sharing. Last year's law created a program manager to improve information sharing across the government. The president appointed an experienced officer to fill that post. Despite these steps, we've made minimal progress so far on information sharing. You can change the law, you can change the technology, but you still need to change the culture. You still need to motivate institutions and individuals to share information. The President and the Director of National Intelligence need to make change in the culture of information sharing a priority through clear and visible support for the program manager's mission. Performance reviews for agency leaders and personnel should include an evaluation of how well they share information. We need improved information sharing not only within the federal government, but especially with state and local authorities. Disasters, whether natural or man-made, happen in localities. They happen in states. Their officials need the best information the federal government can provide, and right now they're not getting it. Third, reform at the FBI. To protect ourselves at home, we need a strong domestic agency for both law enforcement and intelligence. Director Mueller has the right goals for the FBI reform. There is progress, but there is not enough, and it is far too slow. There are still significant deficiencies in the FBI's analytical capabilities and in information sharing with other agencies and with local law enforcement. There is still too much turnover in management. There are shortfalls in human capital, in recruiting, hiring, training, and career development. The Bureau still struggles to make the intelligence mission the dominant mission of the agency. Reforms are at risk from inertia and complacency. Reforms must be accelerated or they will fail. The President needs to lead. The Congress needs to provide careful oversight. Unless there is improvement in a reasonable period of time, Congress will have to look at alternatives. A strong and effective domestic intelligence function is not an option for the United States. It is an obligation. Our nation's security depends on its success. Fourth, reform within the Congress. Now more than ever, Congress needs powerful intelligence and homeland security oversight committees. Why? Because the Congress has provided powerful authorities to the executive branch in order to protect us. It has created a Director of National Intelligence, a National Counterterrorism Center, and given the executive branch powers to investigate citizens and inspect their documents. Congress now needs to be an effective check and balance on the executive branch in carrying out the counterterrorism policies in the United States. Because so much information is classified, Congress is the only source of independent oversight on the full breadth of intelligence and homeland security issues before this country. Last year, the word we heard most often on Capitol Hill describing this oversight was the word dysfunctional. The oversight committees need stronger powers over the budget and exclusive jurisdiction. When too many committees are responsible, nobody is responsible. The Congress cannot play its proper role under the Constitution to provide a check and balance on the actions of the executive if its oversight committees are weak. Strong oversight by the Congress protects our liberties and makes our policies better. Our freedom and safety depend on robust oversight by the Congress. Finally, weapons of mass destruction. Preventing terrorists from gaining access to weapons of mass destruction must be elevated above all other problems of national security. Why? Because it represents the greatest threat to the American people. The commission called for a maximum effort against this threat, given the potential for catastrophic destruction. Our current efforts fall far short of what we need to do. The President should request the personnel and resources and provide the domestic and international leadership to secure all weapons-grade nuclear material as soon as possible. There's simply no higher priority on the national security agenda. As we look back at this past year and the work of the Public Discourse Project, there are so many people we want to thank. First, of course, the 9/11 families. They have been with us every step of the way. Mary and Frank Fetchett, Carrie Lamack, Carol Ashley, Kathy Wisniewski, Abe Scott, and others, working tirelessly on behalf of our recommendations. We want to thank our friends on Capitol Hill, Senators Collins, McCain, and Lieberman, Senators Roberts and Rockefeller, Specter, Leahy, Kyle, Feinstein, and many others. In the House, Representatives Shea and Maloney, King and Thompson, Hoekstra and Harmon, Simmons and Lofgren, and former Representative Cox, and, of course, many others. We thank the leadership on both sides of the aisle, Speaker Hastert and Leader Pelosi, Majority Leader Frist and Leader Reid. We thank former Senator Nunn and on nuclear and the Nuclear Threat Initiative and Senator Lugar for their leadership. We thank the President for his support of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act. And, of course, Tom and I thank very ardently our fellow commissioners and the extraordinary staff we have had working on the 9/11 Commission for these many months, and the public policy discourse as well. Traveling around the country, talking with the American people, has been for all of us an extraordinary experience. We have had over 500 speaking events in 36 states. We've met with World Affairs Councils, Chambers of Commerce, Admirals and Generals. We've met with college students and high school students, 700 model UN students, and 1,500 Boy Scout leaders. We've been on the Sunday news shows and the drive time radio talk shows. We've met with international leaders and seen how the 9/11 story and our recommendations resonate with them. To conclude, I'll turn it back to Governor King.
Well, that was Commissioner Hamilton. Now, in about the middle of his little talk there, he scratched his nose, which is not anything all that incredible, except he scratches his nose with his middle finger. He went right into the camera with his middle finger like he was trying to, you know, give you a subliminal... a subliminal flip-off. I'm not kidding. Do you scratch your nose with your middle finger? I don't. He does. He scratches his nose with his middle finger. I think he was flipping off the American public. I think that's what this whole bunch of people here is doing. They're flipping us off. Oh, well, we'll protect you. Don't worry. It was just a matter of information sharing. And that's what the problem was. We're just stupid. We'll get better, though. Just give us a few billion dollars. Seems like every time they make a mistake, they collect a couple of billion dollars. Maybe that's why they make them so often. But, okay, that's the end of Hamilton. And then we're going to play some of the clips off of Alex Jones' site, Prison Planet. Some of the clips from Washington Journal were where Hamilton was being questioned by callers. And he spins around. You can tell he's under pressure. It was funny to watch it. He didn't flip off the American public then, I don't think. But you got to see this omission commission or BS commission, whatever you want to call them. And then Hamilton flips off the public. while he's talking, pretending like he's itching his nose so he can give the finger to the camera. No kidding. Anyway, here it is, some more BS from Keene.
As Lee said, we've had over 500 speaking engagements, and I know I reflect the rest of the commissioners when I say there's huge interest in this subject, and people want to know. I mean, the main question is, are we safe? And the answer is, of course, that we are safer, but we are not yet safe. 4 years after 9/11, we are not as safe as we could be. And that's simply not acceptable. And people then ask another question. Why are you going to close your doors when there's so much work still to be done? And our view is a very simple one. Congress and the President gave the 10 of us a mandate. We carried that mandate out to the very best of our ability. We made our recommendations, and as private citizens, we've now worked as hard as we could on behalf of those recommendations. Now, each of us as individuals are going to continue to speak out. Now is the time to take the responsibility we were given and to give it back. Now, to whom? First of all, we give it back to you. What we have learned this past year is that change and reform doesn't happen in this country unless the American people demand it. There is no substitute for an engaged and attentive public watching what its elected leaders do. Now, a perfect example are our 9/11 families. Every student of government should study what they did. Citizen involvement makes a huge and positive difference. Second, we hope that from the seeds of our work this past year, other efforts will grow. Every institution of government benefits from the intention of outside watchdog groups. Now, the intelligence community, above all others, needs the interest and attention of those outside of government who care deeply about its success. Finally, we call on our elected leaders. The purpose of government in the preamble of our Constitution is to, and I quote, provide for the common defense. We have made clear time and again that what we believe needs to be done to make our country safer and more secure. The responsibility for action and leadership must rest in the end with the Congress and with the President of the United States. We ask each of you at this point to recall that day, September 11th, 2001. That was a day of unbearable suffering. It was also a day when we were united as Americans. We came together as citizens with a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose. We call upon our elected leaders to come together with that same sense of urgency and a purpose. The terrorists don't target Republicans or Democrats. They target Americans. We will not defeat them as Republicans or as Democrats. We will defeat them only if we all work together. We call upon our political leaders to act as one once again, on a bipartisan basis, to take all necessary steps to make our country safer and more secure. The American people deserve no less. We'd be pleased to respond to your questions. Now, before we do, I'm going to ask my fellow commissioners. This is the last time we're going to be together. Ask my fellow commissioners if they would like to have something to say. Richard.
Well, you know, this is you think this is the last time we're going to be together? I don't think so. I think you're going to all enjoy your eternal stay in the fires of hell. You're going to meet together. Okay. So and then we're going to play this clip of Hamilton. Shamilton, he should be called, because he's a sham. Shamilton on Washington Journal. This is way bizarre. I don't like using Alex Jones clips, really, because I don't know. I just don't like his voice. It's just, I don't know. He's just that, it's kind of annoying. But anyway, here it is. I figured, why reinvent the wheel? I had that Hamilton clip somewhere, and I can't find it now. Yeah. So here it is.
Obviously, we're going to go through this Lee Hamilton, former vice chairman of 9/11 Commission, appeared on C-SPAN on May 26th on Washington Journal. They took around 10 callers throughout the course of the 48-minute show, and six of them raised issues related to the true story behind 9/11.
He must have been on another C-SPAN show, because I saw another clip of him on an afternoon show, and he took more calls than that, which I haven't watched all this new video you put up this hour, which this was the May 26th?
May 26th.
Okay, you might check their archives. I think there's another one where he was on with the other chairman. But please continue.
Yeah, and the majority of the callers raised issues relevant to the true story of government involvement in 9/11. And it was very interesting to see Hamilton and Brian Lamb, who attacked you last year, have to sit and squirm through this barrage of truth on live television. So we got six clips, short clips to play.
All right, we'll also take calls. There's a bunch of other news as well. Everybody, don't touch that dial. This is powerful info coming at you. And remember, DU is nutritious. Yeah, it doesn't matter if the Army's own document says deadly poison and builds up in the body and gives cumulative radiation poisoning. This guy says it's nutritious, basically, and I'm evil for talking about it. But getting back to one of the whitewashers, the co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission, Paul, let's start going through these clips, and then we'll get into some other news and take some calls. Let's go ahead and roll this first clip from C-SPAN as Lee Hamilton gets this first call. Go ahead.
Bulletin, Connecticut. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Good morning, Brian, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a Washington Journal junkie. I just want to ask the following question, which is PBS aired a documentary called America Rebuilds, in which Larry Silverstein, who held the leases on the towers, admits to pulling, which is another word for imploding, World Trade Center Building 7. And I'm just wondering why World Trade Center Building 7, which was half the height of the other two towers, wasn't even mentioned in the report. And I'd also like to give the following website, which has archived at least parts of this documentary, which is www.prisonplanet.com/01190404WTC7.html. And I'd like if you could please comment on this. Thank you.
We had a lot of very difficult decisions to make in putting the report together about what to include and what to exclude. We collected a horrendous amount of material, stacks and stacks of it, interviewed thousands of people, went over several million pages of documents. The emphasis at the site, of course, were on the towers, and that's where the loss of life occurred overwhelmingly. It's where, if corrections are made, you can save the most lives if anything like that occurs in the future. And so some things were left out of the report. I do not recall offhand whether Building 7 was discussed in some of our annex material.
It wasn't.
Or not. It may have been. But I think the report itself had to focus on the primary targets.
Shelby Township, Michigan.
All right, good pause. That's the first clip. So they don't put it in the report. The report says there's no support columns in the middle of the building, even though all the plans say that. Paul, that was a great caller. We commend her. But, yeah, Larry Silverstein says they blew it up, but Lee Hamilton, just we didn't discuss it. He just kind of glazed over it, Paul.
Well, that's what he tries to do on all of them. In some cases, they just cut the callers off as soon as they talk about something important. But, again, it's this whole independent commission farce. I mean, the chairman, Keane, in business with the Bin Ladens, was appointed directly by Bush. How is that independent? And, in fact, Hamilton himself in a different clip. We haven't got that clip, but it's on the video, is confronted by his past activity in whitewashing other investigations related to Bush's father, and he tips and squirms on that one as well. So, I mean, that's the first clip. Second clip is even more important. It talks about how Cheney, as the plane which hit the Pentagon came in, was giving the order to let the order stand as it got closer and closer, 40 miles, 30 miles, 20 miles. So that question is raised in the second clip.
Let's go ahead and roll that. Start rolling again.
Columbia, Maryland. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, C-SPAN.
Good
morning. Sir, I would like to ask you this question regarding the testimony of Laura Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation, who appeared before you guys on May 23rd, 2003. And Laura Mineta was at the Emergency Operations Center in the White House with Vice President Dick Cheney around 9:20 on September 11, 2001. And during that time, Norm Mineta said to you guys that while he was there, quote, during the time that the airplane was coming into the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Now, this had to be the Pentagon. The flight that hit the Pentagon. How can Dick Cheney know this and Donald Rumsfeld not know it, the president not know it, the military not know it? And another question, sir.
I'm going to let you go. First, I want to ask you, how often do you get these kind of questions? Because there seems to be a whole world out there that revolves around every jot and tittle of everything that's ever been said. It's suspecting that this is a conspiracy.
Well, that's right.
Hit pause, rewind it about 10 seconds, we'll come back with the answer. A conspiracy, that's the testimony. He was ordering Norvad to stand down, it's admitted. Paul, stay there. There's a lot more coming up, ladies and gentlemen. It just, the sun came up this morning. It's a conspiracy.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
JLS Research, founders of a revolutionary new all-natural deodorant, wants to get up close and personal with you. You wear deodorant, right? Well, let's hope you do. You obviously wear it to cover up that embarrassing underarm odor. Well, why mask the odor when you can completely eliminate the bacteria which causes the odor in the first place? Check out this new product. It's called No BO, and you won't believe how effectively it works. I know, you're wondering, how can you trust No BO to eliminate your embarrassing body odor? Look, the creator of No BO understands what you're going through. She knows you want a safe deodorant that contains no aluminum, chemicals, or petroleum-based products. She also knows that while you want it all-natural, you want it very effective. That's why she had to search 40 years to find this all-natural product that actually soothes the skin while it attacks bacteria. Try Nobio. It comes with a 100% money-back offer. Nobio is so highly concentrated, a little goes a long way. Give them a call at 888-881-NOBIO. Check out their website at no-bio.com. Come on, it's time for you to enjoy the sweet smell of success with Nobio. That's no-bio.com.
Now you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
If you're concerned about keeping your cardiovascular system healthy but don't want to take prescription drugs, then take a look at heartandbodyextract.com from Healthy Hearts Club. It's a 100% certified organic liquid extract. It provides your body with the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytochemicals it needs to heal and balance itself. By getting the nutrients it needs, your body can balance your blood pressure and your cholesterol levels on its own without prescription drugs, and you'll have more energy. What's more, your body can clean and clear your arteries on its own as long as it has the proper nutrients. Everybody understands the importance of keeping their arteries clear, but did you know that in 25% of the cases, the first symptom of blocked arteries is death? Don't take unnecessary risks. Keep your arteries healthy and clear by taking Heart and Body Extract. To get Heart and Body Extract, go to heartandbodyextract.com or call 1-866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Call now.
Don't worry, this show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell in.
All right, Coogan and Chris and Brian and Terry and many others, we're still keeping that line open with the caller earlier who is basically saying that we're evil because we say DU is bad. Well, you've done it now. I was already intending to get a bunch of DU scientists back on, but that's it. I'm getting all the top ones in the world who wrote the books for the military, you name it. And I'm going to keep challenging you to call in and deal with it and tell scientists that it's nutritious and that we're evil. But most of Dr. Rocky's team, by the way, have died. He went there for the cleanup in 1991 after the Gulf War. But Paul, continuing with these clips, this guy brings up a really good point of Cheney, and we know what that order was, even though he's declared national security, in control of the whole, quote, war game and ordering the stand down the entire time. Any other comments before we finish up his comment to the question?
Well, you said with the first clip, he simply evades it by saying that it wasn't in the report. Well, this was. It's a direct quote, so it's not any kind of conspiracy. But again, he still manages to sidestep the issue and tries to absolve Cheney.
And Brian Lamb, who spent an hour and a half attacking me last year but wouldn't let me on to defend myself, Brian Lamb calls it a conspiracy, and you know, every jot and every tittle, you know, like we're a bunch of evil people for wanting to know what Dick Cheney did when he was doing. I mean, it's incredible, Paul.
It's a blatant setup, but they were pretty much on the back foot throughout the entire show because the over half the calls were of this nature.
They were rocking back on their heels like they were in the corner on the ropes. Let's go ahead and play the rest of that question.
And another question, sir.
I'm going to let you go. First, I want to ask you, how often do you get these kind of questions? Because there seems to be a whole world
listen
out
to that
there
nervous
that revolves
coughing
around every jot and tittle of everything that's ever been said, suspecting that this is a conspiracy.
Well, that's right. Look, we're still arguing about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And we're arguing about John F. Kennedy's assassination. September 11th is one of the most traumatic days in the history of our country, maybe the most traumatic. We on the 9/11 Commission took our best crack at it. We were ordered by the statute to tell the story of 9/11, put aside the recommendations. We did the very best we could on that. But it's a dynamic situation. Information continually comes up, and there's a lot of suspicion about what we found and what we didn't find. So these stories will continue. Now, with regard to Cheney's action, he was the person in the White House. The president at the time was in Sarasota, Florida, and speaking to that small group, really, of children. And communications were not as good as we would like them to have been between President Bush and the White House at that time. And incidentally, that's one of the things we think have been corrected since that time.
Okay.
But the vice president was in the operation.
Oh, don't keep going. I'm sorry.
Sense. He was in communication with the president as quickly as he could be at that point in time. And yet, we did find a flaw in the communication problems.
Okay, before we go to the next clip, again, if there's a flood, the president cancels what he's doing to go grandstand. He saw the first plane hit, he said. Then he saw the second one in the green room. We have the Times of London photos. Then he went out and lied about it and said he never even had an idea. Then he said, okay, I did see the plane hit. And we have all this going on. That was for the photo op, so we could see the president respond on national TV. They talk about Kennedy assassinations, conspiracy theories, Abraham Lincoln. No, this is in the report that Dick Cheney was in control and doing all of this. We know that. We know they ordered NORAD to stand down. We know all that happened. And they just throw out the term conspiracy theory, Paul.
Well, yeah. And we got the photos of Bush sitting in the school with the video of the second tower smoking behind him. And he's on the phone as the plane is coming in to the Pentagon. So he is in communication. And again, it's this whole thing, it's all a big mistake. Well, a caller raises on the fourth clip the fact that if it's all a big mistake, why is no one connected with it being reprimanded? And in fact, many were rewarded, including the visa personnel who let the supposed terrorists into the country in the first place, got giant bonuses.
Well, the FBI agent that threatened to arrest the other agents so they didn't follow W199I and stand down, they got a record cash bonus. But Paul, I mean, listening to these two, people say, well, 9/11 is so big, they never get away with it. They're not. We're the majority now. People are waking up. 90-plus percent of the people in America believe the government killed Kennedy. I mean, anybody who looks at the facts. So basically, they knew it was going to come out, and they just think they'll be able to ride this bucking Bronco. But they're not going to be able to do that, Paul.
Well, no. That's what we can talk about after the clips.
All right, let's go to the next clip. What's the third clip?
Third clip is a little bit longer. It's about 3 minutes. Somebody raises David Ray Griffin's lecture on C-SPAN and his book.
All right, go ahead and roll that.
Here, you're in Concord, Massachusetts.
Oh, good. Sorry. Good morning. C-SPAN's Book TV recently did a lecture from the University of Wisconsin about the events surrounding 9/11. The lecturer, a person by the name of David Ray Griffin, is a professor emeritus at the University of Charmont, and he certainly is no freaky conspiracy theorist. He is a man with gravitas. It was his conclusion, based upon the evidence, that the that 9/11 was a that the government was complicit in and engineered 9/11. Now, before you dismiss this as nonsense, the audience of over I think it was 400 people gave the person a standing ovation. It seems that these theories are starting to take currency in the country, and it appears that you have a lot of splaining to do.
Caller, let me ask you, why would the government want 9/11 to happen, in your opinion?
Because it was the pretext for war, the pretext for the planning of the operation of the Gulf, of the war in the Gulf. You needed a pretext, and so this was it.
Okay, let's assume that that's correct. Why would the government want to go to war in Iraq?
Hello?
Yeah.
I think there were three reasons. One was for the to make the Middle East safe for Israel. The other one was to bring market forces into that area. And the third one was to establish military bases.
Good pause. And then rewind it 5 seconds. Now, let me give you the reasons, what PNAC said. $4 trillion in oil in Iraq, $3 trillion in Afghanistan, and that's discovered oil ready to be pumped down. Hundreds of billions in weapon sales per year, a domestic police state here in America, and a way to silence the sinners and put in the national ID card and the biometric control grid. And, Paul, there's other reasons, too.
Well, yeah. Primarily, it was the launch pad for the war on Iran, which they kind of screwed up the planning on that one somewhat with the insurgency. But, yeah, as you mentioned, there was the crackdown at home. I mean, Tony Blair, right before the war started, as a million people marched in London, had tanks rolling around Heathrow for a terror alert to do with missiles that later turned out to be faked.
And fake Ryerson reports and fake reports about what Saddam's WMDs. All right, back to the 9/11 whitewasher, back to Lee Hamilton. Go ahead.
The other one was to bring market forces into that area, and the third one was to establish military bases.
I'm not familiar in any detail with Professor Griffin's work, so I don't know that I can respond. But the charge, of course, that the United States government was complicit in 9/11 is just extraordinary. And we found zero evidence of that. That our government planned that attack. So I think the burden of persuasion is on their side here, and I'd be very, very skeptical. He said the evidence is very strong. I haven't seen that evidence.
Have you read David Griffin's book?
No.
Have you heard about David Griffin's book?
Yes.
And what do you do when you get a book like that? Do you have people to go over it?
Well, look, we have hundreds of people like that commenting on our report, maybe thousands, looking at every detail. We had 1,600 footnotes. They look at all 1,700. They look at every footnote. And that's okay. That's the way it ought to be. We cannot respond to every critic. If we spent all of our time responding to critics, we wouldn't have gotten anything done at all.
All right. I mean, this is too rich, Paul. We have Operation North was the official U.S. government plan to carry out 9/11. Then we have the prima facie motive on the face of it. We have Dick Cheney, Brzezinski, and Pentagon planners saying we need, quote, helpful Pearl Harbor events. We have the Gulf of Tonkin never happening. 58,000 Americans then died. Presidential libraries now release that. We have the blowing up of the Maine. We have Hitler blowing up the Reichstag. We have our own government with the USS Liberty. We have Operation Gladio, which was carried out. Our government admits they carried out bombings and killed people to blame it on foreign enemies. I mean, what is he talking about? There's no evidence of that, Paul.
Well, I mean, he says that it's ridiculous that the government would be responsible. He is the government. He's been a government pimp all his political life, which a caller raises in a different call, the fact that he covered up for them before. So, of course, he's not going to accuse himself of being involved with it because that was his job. He was staffed to do it.
Well, somebody should have called in about how it's, quote, an independent commission. They tried to have Kissinger in his place at first, but no one bought that. It was too big of a joke. And, I mean, Bush appointed these people.
Yeah, and Keane has business connections to the Bin Laden family, just like the Bushes do.
And so does the chief staffer of the commission.
And the rest of it is that we won't feature, because it's obviously 48 minutes long, is Brian Lamb basically throwing in the left-right paradigm. Oh, Richard Benvenista was on the panel, so surely that makes it impartial and non-partisan. We had Democrats as well, and they're just as involved as the Republicans were. You know, Clinton having several opportunities to kill Bin Laden before Bush came to power. In every instance, he refused to do it. Sudan offered to hand him over, Afghanistan offered to hand him over. And it never took place because he works for the same people.
All right, let's go ahead and go to the next clip. What's this next clip?
Next clip is about the fact that if it was all a mistake, then why is no one held responsible for it?
All right, here it is.
Jesus. I'm sorry, Pontiac, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. Thank you for letting me call. I just have a couple questions. This commission to me held no one responsible. There's no accountability. That and the fact that there's so much more that was left out of the commission, it leads to people speculating. I think we should be more forthright. If there's things that may not even make us happy as Americans, we should be aware of those things as well. If we made some poor decisions, we should have people in higher power take more accountability.
Did anybody anywhere in our government lose their job over 9/11?
I don't think so. Not so far as I know. Now, who knows for sure? I mean, George Tenet left, but I think under different circumstances, so far as I know. But the question of accountability is one that we wrestled with, and I'd have to go back to my earlier comment here. I do not believe you can say one person was responsible for 9/11. I do think you can go back and say a lot of mistakes were made.
Now, I mean, this guy is just mind-boggling, the things that they're saying, the things that they're doing, Paul. And again, you said earlier, the people that were involved in 9/11, they were all promoted. The people that exposed government involvement, they all got in trouble.
Well, exactly. And that, I mean, he's reading straight from the playbook. The whitewash is to make everybody believe that it was a mistake. And you'll even have people who supposedly come out of left field to attack the government, criticize the government, but it's always on the grounds of this person made a mistake, this agency made a mistake, and that only fulfills the whitewash that they intended in the first place, which is to make people believe that it was just an error, lack of communication, when it was a directed conviction to carry out this attack, which the massive...
I wish somebody would have brought up to them that in their report they said that there was no support columns in the middle of the building, when the towers had the biggest support columns of any building in the world, and in their report they just said there were no support columns, Paul.
Well, exactly, but in every case he doesn't directly address the question, which is obviously 101 what you would do in that position if you were trying to cover it up.
Well, also, he said he didn't know Griffin, and then he said he did. Let's go ahead and go to the next clip. Here it is.
Head, please. New York City.
I'd like to ask you a very, very important question. How is it that you gave General Myers and Donald Rumsfeld a free ride, and they had said they had no idea about NORAD on that day when Cynthia McKinley had asked them questions in the middle of the night on C-SPAN, and they did 100% acknowledge that there was 5 war games that morning, and in addition to that, that Donald Rumsfeld was in total control? And we also want to know who shut down the SAM missiles.
Thanks, caller.
We think NORAD made some mistakes on the lead up to 9/11 and could have reacted more aggressively and robustly than they did. We did not hold General Myers or Secretary Rumsfeld responsible for that, but we did make some critical comments about NORAD and their ability to respond to these kind of attacks.
There's a couple stories out this...
Well, I tell you, you can hear them coughing, chaffing, really under the hot lights there, and you hear Lamb starting to cut people off pretty quickly, don't we, Paul?
Well, yeah, and he does that again in the next clip. That one, again, blaming NORAD, when we know that NORAD were confused by those drills. They were replacing people in the command structure with rookies it was their first day on the job. That came out, Tom Flocko reported that, WorldNet Daily as well.
And 3 months before, they took the power away from the generals to shoot aircraft down, which they'd had since 57, and gave it just to Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. Let's play the next clip. Go ahead and roll it.
Hamilton, they go to Augusta, Georgia. Good morning.
Mr. Hamilton, Terry McDermott of the Los Angeles Times confirmed an article that U.S. support of Israel was a major influence on Sheikh Khalid Mohammed, who was mentioned on page 147 of the 9/11 Commission report. He'd been driven to attack the World Trade Center tragically because of U.S. support for Israel. Why isn't U.S. support of Israel one of the 41 suggestions in the 9/11 Commission report? You can actually see the Covering War panel in which Terry McDermott, again, this Los Angeles Times war and terror reporter, is on. It repeats this coming weekend on C-SPAN 2 at 2 p.m. East Coast time. It was from the outstanding C-SPAN 2 coverage of Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. And Terry McDermott is asked point blank, a reference is made to the James Bamford book, A Pretext.
I'm sorry, this is the guy that calls us about every 3 days. It's all right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with his question, but he constantly violates our 30-day policy. What did you hear that you want to talk about?
Well, we looked at the question very hard, is why they attacked.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. That's a total whitewash. You know, oh, we're evil, we made the Arabs attack us. That's kind of the Ward Churchill angle. So we'll get Paul's comment on that, and then go to your calls on the other side. Stay with us.
Hey, folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror, and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today.
Call toll-free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, InfoWars.com.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Finally, for millions of Americans at risk with high cholesterol, there's Liquid Quell. Doctor-recommended, safe, effective, affordable cholesterol control, available now at major wholesale clubs everywhere, without a prescription. Here's Dr. Sherry Rainwater, MD.
I recommend Quell to my patients because it's been shown to be effective and safe in reducing cholesterol.
Quell is an easy way to improve your cholesterol profile without serious side effects in as little as 6 months, guaranteed. And Quell is safe for diabetics, gluten-free, and safe to take with prescriptions. Here's Cheryl G. in California.
Quell lowered my cholesterol significantly in 30 days, something I couldn't do with diet and exercise in 2 to 3 years.
Gentle, fast-acting Liquid Quell is available at major wholesale clubs nationwide and online at QuellDirect.com. Quell your cholesterol today, risk-free and guaranteed. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Quell is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individual results may vary.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Paul, I guess that's all the clips of Lee Hamilton.
That's right, yeah.
And there's a few others where he got grilled, so the majority of the calls were they're exposing what they're up to. You know, one other thing is, they said at the beginning of the Whitewash Commission that they weren't there to find guilt, just ways to keep us safe. And their recommendations were expand the Patriot Act, national ID cards, total federalization. And so all that is now happening.
Exactly. And in relation to those clips, the last two callers, they kind of tried to counterbalance the whole thing, because the last two callers, the first of which mentioned the capture of Al-Libi, so-called Mr. Al-Qaeda number 3, which turned out to be a spelling mistake. It was actually a guy with a similar name, differently spelled. He was not Al-Qaeda number 3. London Times described him as floats and jetsam. They just picked him up. He was a nobody. But they used that as an example of how the war on terror is succeeding and how the Patriot Act and all this is having such a great success in fighting Al-Qaeda. And then another caller called in about the fact that everybody's talking about weapons of mass destruction or the lack thereof, but what about the Scud missiles that Saddam had? And the British government, the American government's own report stated that most of those missiles couldn't even reach the neighboring country, never mind anywhere else.
Yeah, 1950s era Soviet pieces of absolute garbage falling apart.
So that was used as to prop up the Iraq war on the last call as well. So they tried to turn it around desperately in the end, but I don't think it worked.
Well, this is happening everywhere, Paul. I mean, I do other talk show interviews every day. And I was on in Chicago this morning, and it's also on in L.A., syndicated show. And I got to go up against Arnold's new biographer. But I mean, it's just people agree with us. They don't agree with the establishment, and their fraud is coming down.